Today's reading is John chapter 8, starting at verse 12, which can be found on page 1073 of the Church Bibles. That's John chapter 8, starting at verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings are put. Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There was quite a lot of up and down in there, wasn't there? Anyone guess who this passage is all about? It's about Jesus, isn't it? Exactly. Well, please do keep that open as we come to think further about what God is saying to us through this. When I get the right document open. Great. Well, let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help as we come to this reading. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Jesus' words. And we pray, Lord, as we look at them now, give us hearts and minds which are ready to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we've come to the second of the third of Jesus' I am statements. We've had a couple of already, and we've been looking in John's Gospel at various places where Jesus says, "I am." We've had the one where it is, "I am," saying he's God, giving himself God's name, calling himself God. And then a couple of weeks ago, we had, "I am the bread of life." Well, today is today, I've got up the wrong sermon. Pants! I've got up the sermon for 2 weeks ago. Shall I see if I can find the right one? You're about to get the sermon for 2 weeks ago. That wouldn't have been very clever of me, would it? Oh, here we go. Let's try again, shall we? Here we go. I've got the right one this time. Yay! Right, I'll just work from there. That's fine. And we'll come to the second and to the third one, and it's, "I am the light of the world." So actually, please look with me at chapter 8 and verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to his people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, that's just one sentence, but that sentence is absolutely packed with important things that God wants us to hear about. And the first one is this: Jesus is the ultimate light. Jesus is the light. And when we think of lights, I got to know, the normal things that might come to mind might include things like this. Might be a light bulb. You know what I mean? We've all got them in our houses, haven't we? Or it might be fairy lights. Some people love fairy lights, don't they? I know my wife is one of them. She'll have them up whenever she can. You might have some car lights, important when you're driving on the roads. Or if you want something to look pretty or stylish, you might have some candles. And then perhaps one of the most important ones in our world, finally, is the sun. We need the sunlight, don't we? We need the heat from the sun and the light for us to live. But who is the light according to Jesus? Look again at verse 12. The light is Jesus. "I am the light of the world." It's not a light bulb, it's not a candle or a torch or whatever you can think of. It's not a thing. It's But a person. And in a moment, we're going to think about what Jesus means by the light. But to begin with, I hope you can see Jesus is very much focused on himself. Jesus, a person, is the light. Not an idea, not an image, not a clever bit of science, but a person. And it's why Christians talk about knowing Jesus. You know what I mean? Next one, Karis, please. You can't. Oh, go on. No, the one before. Go back, 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 back. Back. There we go. You can't know a light bulb or a candle. You can't even know an idea, can you? You familiarize yourself with them, but you can't know them. But you can know a person. You can know Jesus. Now, yes, we can't see Jesus with our eyes today, can we? But back when John was writing this gospel, loads of people had seen Jesus. Loads and loads. Along with John, who wrote this gospel. And loads have seen him since. Because they've gone up to be in heaven with Jesus. They can see Jesus. And for loads of us here this morning, one day we will see Jesus. But whether we can see him or not, he is a person. Right now, today. So, Jesus, he can talk to us as we read the scriptures and ask for his spirit to help us to see what he's saying. There'll be times when we can talk to him, prayer. There'll be times in our life when he has a right, when you just know, I just know he's having a quiet giggle at some of the things that Mike Walton has got up to. And Jesus, is a sly smile is on his face. There'll be other times in my life when actually I failed him big time and I can just go, I bet there's a tear in Jesus' eye right now. Because he's a person. We can know him. And that's because possible because Jesus is the light of the world and is a person. But then what sort of light is he? And secondly this morning, Jesus is a saving light. Let's read that verse one more time. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're told Jesus is a light, but what does that mean? Well, I found this picture on the internet. I don't think it means Jesus has a torch coming out of his forehead, or a flame or whatever. I don't think that's what he was talking about. And wonderfully, actually in John's Gospel, he doesn't leave us guessing. Because I've got a question for the adults now. What chapter comes before chapter 8 in John's Gospel? Hey, you're tuned in this morning, John 7, that's right. And John chapter 7 is all about a Jewish feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the centre of this feast, what would happen on one of the evenings, the dark evenings, the temple would be lit up with loads and loads of candles and fires and torches, as in torches with fire on. And it would, not just the usual amount of light, but back then, it would have been dazzling. It would have been an amazing amount of light spreading out beyond the temple and even into the city. And the reason why they did this was to remember what God had done with light in the Old Testament. And remember what we were thinking about earlier? Can I have the next slide, please? That was one of the examples. When God guided his people to freedom from slavery with the pillar of fire, a huge light showing God's people the way. So as they were celebrating, and all these thousands of years later in the temple with the light, this is what they're remembering. They're remembering God's rescue. And it's pointed to all over the Old Testament. In Psalm 27 it says this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. There's other examples in the Old Testament as well, but we don't have time to pick them all up today. But when the Bible is talking about light, when Jesus is talking about light in John chapter 8, he's talking about the light to guide people to salvation, to save them. Now we need to be careful here. Because some people, they want Jesus to be light of the world, the light who will solve all their problems. Or the light that makes their life really, really good. Or the light that is there to help them when they're feeling down, a crutch for the weak, to get them through that next test or exam. Now, these things are not unimportant to Jesus, but Jesus, the light of the world, has come to shine to save us. That's the big deal. And when he comes to save, he comes to save us from darkness. And our third point today, without Jesus, the darkness is very real. Let me read verse 12 again. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, Jesus is really clear here. We need him. We need his light, because without him, we're walking around in darkness. And lots of people don't like darkness, do they? We're going to have a little quiz now to see what type of darkness people like or don't like. So here we go, first quiz, first one. Darkness. When you're in the dark, sometimes you might be walking to the loo and you stub your toe in the dark. Ooh, that's not nice. Or, when you're in the dark, you can't see that spider creeping up on you, can you? So go on, if you think what's worse, stubbing your toe, crashing, or having a spider sneak up to you in the dark. If you think it's A, put up your hand now. If you think it's B with the spider, put your hand. Think the B's just got a bit more. Spiders are worse than stub toes, apparently. Let's do the next one. Not being able to sleep. That's something I know a lot about, sadly. So not being able to sleep, that's something that people don't like in the dark. Or a pretend monster hiding behind your wardrobe door. So which is worse? A, not being able to get to sleep. Quite a few. Pretend monster hiding behind the wardrobe door. Even the adults, B1. Right, the last things for the dark. A bad dream or my face just there. A bad dream, a nightmare or my face. Go on, which one? If you think it's a nightmare, put your hand up first. Oh, well, that's encouraging. If you think it's my face, I'm glad Amanda's not here, because that's my wife, and she might have something to say about that. Well, Jesus' assumption here is that without him, everybody is walking in darkness. In John chapter 3, we're told this, the light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. Left to ourselves, without Jesus, we prefer darkness. Now, that doesn't mean that lots of people prefer the night time or never turn the lights on when it's dark at home. Most people like the light that we can see. But many people don't like the light of Jesus. Instead, they prefer to live in darkness without him, without his love and compassion, without his wisdom, without his salvation. That is biblical, true darkness. And we've had thousands of years of this darkness, haven't we? Whether from ancient Egypt to Greece or the Romans or to modern-day scientific nations such as the US or Germany or ourselves. People think they know so much, think they're in the light, but because they're ignoring Jesus, the Bible says they're in darkness. In fact, if you were to ask most people today, if we lived in an enlightened age, most people would say yes. They'd say, look at our science, look at our arts, look at our sport, look at our entertainment and our medicines. We're so enlightened. But a moment's thought tells us otherwise. Just think of the Middle East at the moment. Or Ukraine. Or the overflowing prisons in our country. Think of the nastiness that our children will experience, even in the school playgrounds, even for some of them at home. We read or watch the news, and to be honest, lots of the time we don't even know if we've been told the truth anymore, are we? Our world is a dark place. And we don't even like to admit it to ourselves. Even if we're Christians, it's not comfortable. But our only hope to break through the darkness is Jesus. Now yes, education, healthcare, a fair society, they're good things. But none of those things will break through the darkness. Only Jesus will. But we don't find that light automatically. We need to do something. Because our fourth point this morning, following Jesus is absolutely essential. Our verse again, chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you want to have Jesus, you can't just look up at the sky and sort of go, I'm looking for Jesus. That doesn't work. You don't just look up to the sky. My tablet's just turned off. You can't sort of just say, actually, let me try to get Jesus' attention. I'll put on a crazy hat and get people's attention. And Jesus will notice me now. So I had a little bet with the youth group that I'd wear a hat in the service today. So, right? But it doesn't work, even if you had a really strange hat. It wouldn't be any good just saying, Jesus, I'm over here. Or even, Jesus, I'm over here! What does Jesus say in this passage? He says to those who follow me. To those who follow me. Remember our obstacle course earlier? I mean, it was impossible when you're in the dark. Easier when you could see, but easier if someone was showing you through it, was guiding you through it. Well, Jesus says, follow me. Follow Jesus on the narrow path towards eternal life. Follow Jesus for knowledge and purpose that really matters. Follow Jesus as your mentor in life, but not just Jesus an idea or a philosophy or a wise guy, but follow Jesus as God himself, fully human, fully God, as your Lord, Saviour and friend. Jesus is the light of the world. And the question is quite simple for all of us, really. Will we say, I want to follow Jesus today? I'm not asking, did you start following Jesus yesterday or 10 years ago or 100 years ago? No, actually, no one's 100 here, are they? But ages ago. But today. Anew. For some of us, it might be for the first time. Because some of Jesus' listeners weren't ready to do that. At the end of chapter 7, we read it, but we get told there in verses 45 to 52, we see some people there who had been listening to Jesus. Many of them had seen Jesus' miracles, but then from verse 5 to 45 onwards, some of them were saying, oh, Jesus is deceiving people. They claim that powerful people didn't accept Jesus, and therefore if powerful people don't accept Jesus, therefore no one should accept him. They claimed you couldn't even trust people who came from Galilee, where Jesus came from. Lots of excuses to avoid the light of the world. So sad, yet so modern. To ignore the greatest gift the world will ever see. Verse 12, one last time. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your honesty with us, for the mess that we have made of this world, for the darkness that is all around. And we're sorry for that, Father. But Father, thank you that you have not left us to ourselves. You sent Jesus to be that light, to carve the way forward, to make it possible for us to find freedom in him, to find salvation and rescue, to find relationship with you and with him. Help us to follow Jesus the person each and every day, knowing he's the one true light in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.